Around 10 o'clock, and there wasn't a murmur out of her till this morning.
Which meant that Dane was thinking the same as what he could see Connor was thinking right now. Anita could have gotten out of the house without them knowing and gone to Jackson's apartment, but there was no knowing for sure.
It wasn't her, said Jackson with surety.
She didn't know why she was so certain, considering that her opinion was based purely on theories. Her gut told her it wasn't Anita. Connor threw her an impatient look.
Who else could it be? Maybe she has a stalker, suggested Dane.
Jackson tapped his temple. Connor, think about it. Would Anita do that to my apartment, risking that you might ask me to stay with you? I seriously doubt it. He waved away the comment.
She'd never think I'd do that.
Well, if she felt threatened enough by my being in your life to come to where I live and feed me some tripe about being pregnant, she must believe what the tabloids are printing about us being in some heavy relationship. If she believes that, then she could easily believe you might ask me to stay with you if my apartment was trashed. I doubt she'd risk it. Dane winced.
Actually, the main reason I came here was to pass on some news that I don't think you're going to sing and dance about.
He sighed.
Anita's pregnant.
Silence met that statement for a few seconds.
You know this for sure?
Asked Connor as he got over the sensation of his stomach plummeting.
She did a pregnancy test yesterday morning while Nikki stood outside the bathroom door. She never tried convincing us she was pregnant the way she had with Jackson. But then the past few mornings she was spewing her guts up, so she did a test. I don't have to tell you she's ecstatic. She's planning on coming to tell you tonight.
Jax was going to leave now, wasn't she? Connor wouldn't blame her. As soon as he told Anita she still wouldn't be getting a ring on her finger, she'd be onto the tabloids, spreading news of the pregnancy. Then Jax was going to get caught up in the whirlwind that followed. He glanced at her, and yep, there she was, putting on her black leather coat.
Where are you going? Asked Dane.
There's someone I need to have a little chat with.
Connor's head snapped up.
What? Wait.
Dane placed himself in her path to the door.
Of course you want to tan her hide.
Oh, I don't want to tan her hide, snapped Jackson. I want to carve out her heart with a burning hot knife while she's alive and screaming in agony. But that's completely off the subject. As it happens, it's not her I'm going to visit.
Then who?
Asked Connor. Chapter 15. The last person Luke Winston expected to see when he opened his front door was Jackson Carter. As usual, her natural allure threw him for a second. There was nothing at all revealing about what she was wearing, and yet she looked sexy as hell. He squeezed his eyes shut and shook his head, willing back his ability to speak.
Hi.
Jackson gave him a winning smile. It hadn't been difficult to find him. When he had been trying to get her to go home with him that night at the bar, he had told her about the house he owned and the name of the street. All she had had to do was look for the black Mercedes he had also told her about, and she knew exactly where to find him.
I know this is out of the blue. Luke cleared his throat with a deliberate cough.
It's fine. Come in.
He winced as it suddenly occurred to him that the inside wasn't in great shape. The cleaner wasn't due in until tomorrow. Those thoughts ended as she strutted past. His eyes became helplessly glued to her ass. Just as he was closing the door, a hand shoved against it, sending him backpedaling.
Winston,
drawled Connor as he entered.
Right there, mate,
greeted Dane in a deceptively friendly voice.
Oh, I brought them along, announced Jackson before entering the living room. Hope you don't mind.
Connor smiled at Luke.
Don't worry, we're not here to break bones. What reason would we have to do anything like that?
He gestured toward the living room.
Off to you.
Choosing to go with the flow for now, or until he got near his mobile phone, Luke waltzed into the living room. Jackson, sitting cross-legged on the sofa, grinned at him.
What's all this about?
He asked.
Ah, I think he thought she'd come here to shag him,
said Dane as he and Connor covered the doorway of the room, blocking Luke's path should his flight instinct kick in. Connor shook his head.
Nah, I'm sure his intentions were totally honorable when he invited her inside.
Do you do a lot of jogging, Luke? Asked Jackson. The question took him by surprise. His shrug was small.
Not a lot? No.
How often would you say you do?
What? I don't know. I just do it sometimes, if I feel like it.
And you felt like going jogging on that morning that we first met, didn't you? He swallowed hard.
Yeah.
Sorry again about Bronte growling at you like that, but as you said, he was just protecting me. Odd choice of words, wouldn't you say? He laughed nervously.
You're saying you think I was going to hurt you?
You tell me.
A lone man jogging in the park has to have dodgy intentions these days, is that it?
I never saw you do much jogging. As I recall it, you just appeared out of the woods.
Because I'd just spent the past half hour jogging through those woods, taking the shortcut to the lake.
And yet there wasn't an ounce of sweat on you. She gave her head a little shake and shrugged. What a phenomenon. She smiled as she assessed his posture. You're looking a little nervous. You were looking a little nervous that morning, too. And that night in the bar. Funny that you should turn up in the same place like that. It wasn't so funny that you did your best to get me drunk to bring me here. Her brows rose. Nothing to say to that. How about a subject change, then? Let's talk about Anita Donovan. He didn't bother denying that he knew her. Why make the hole he was in even deeper? Besides, technically, he hadn't done anything wrong. Well, maybe by Connor McKenzie's rule book he had.
I haven't seen her in a while. When did you last see her?
Asked Connor.
The night that I was talking to Jackson at the bar.
So you two were seeing each other, said Jackson. Not a question, a statement. When it was mentioned that she might have a stalker, she had tried thinking of anyone who might have acted strange around her, which brought her to think of Luke. But it didn't make any sense to her that someone like him, gorgeous, rich, always had girls throwing themselves at him, would bother following her around. Then she had remembered when they were in the bar and Connor had appeared. Jackson had watched surprise and betrayal and finally understanding flash on Luke's face. But she had been positive that they weren't directed at her or Connor. He had been thinking of someone else. So, she'd asked herself, assuming someone else was involved, who could possibly be connected to both her and Connor that would want to play games? Luke rubbed his chin and sighed.
Only for a couple of weeks. There wasn't much going on other than shagging. To be honest, I thought she was a bit weird, but she was good in bed, so that was overlooked. She was adventurous and imaginative when it came to games.
Jackson held up a hand. Too much information, Luke.
Not sex games. I mean, well, they were sex games, but not like what you're thinking. We'd go out to a bar and she would pick out a bloke and I would pick out a girl and then we would dare each other to go after them. We would try to get their phone numbers, a kiss, an invite back to their place. We never used to go, it was just a game we played. Whichever one of us got the farthest had control in the bedroom that night.
But she didn't try to get my number, or a kiss, or even an invite to mine. You wanted me to go with you.
Anita turned round one day and said, "Hey, I dare you to go after Jackson Carter." I said if we were ever out one night and you were there, I'd approach you.
Connor growled, but Luke ignored it, even though the sound chilled him.
But she said, "No, I'm changing the rules. You've got to approach her out of a bar and then get her to come back here."
Hence the pretend jog incident?
She told me you walked your dog in the park on Saturday mornings.
The fact that Anita knew that didn't sound good to Connor, but he didn't interrupt. He wanted every detail.
"I had it all in my head what I was going to say to you," said Luke, sighing. "But when I got up close, it just all left me. I was just, well, mesmerized by you."
He was surprised when she looked confused about that. He wasn't surprised that Connor growled.
"Anyway, she teased me for hours when I came back here without you, and she wouldn't let the dare drop. But, well, my ego was sore, and I didn't fancy getting brain freeze and making an idiot of myself in front of you again, so I told her to forget it. Then she said..."
Here was where he suspected Connor wouldn't be too pleased. Jackson arched a brow.
She said...
She said she had it on good authority that you were into threesomes.
As he anticipated, Connor growled again and spat a curse.
She said if I managed to get you back here, then the three of us could... I mean, come on. I'm only bloody human.
He turned to Connor and Dane.
Don't tell me you two wouldn't have been intrigued by the idea.
I'm married,
said Dane.
I never would have shared her, no matter who it was with,
stated Connor honestly.
Whatever.
Luke turned back to Jackson.
I'd heard you and your mate talking about going to Frankie's bar that night, so I went. And, well, you weren't easy to charm, and then he showed up. That was when everything clicked into place. I remembered that Anita had been engaged to him till recently, and I thought about how weird it was that she had seemed so determined to get you here where she'd be waiting. When I went back home without you, she was fuming. I asked if it had all been some revenge game for Mackenzie, and she flipped her lid, ranting about men and commitments and models and babies. Then she stormed out, and I haven't seen her or heard from her since.
Dane exchanged a look with Connor before he informed Jackson and Luke.
That was the night Anita turned up at my house in tears, looking for somewhere to stay. So you know where she is?
Asked Luke, not that he really cared. Nodding, Jackson smiled. She's at Dane's house, she's absolutely fine, and she's very pregnant. Luke gaped.
She's what? Wait a minute, it's not mine. We used protection. Did she ever try to get you to go bareback?
Asked Connor, now seeing where Jackson's thoughts had taken her. He shook his head.
No, never.
Then a memory came to him.
We did go bareback once in the car because I had no condoms, but she said she was on the pill.
Three sympathetic looks were directed his way.
You think this baby she's having is mine?
Jackson sighed. She couldn't help feeling sorry for him. The facts are that Anita was planning to accidentally get pregnant with Connor's baby, but he found out and we were presuming he'd ended it before she had a chance to get the plan live and kicking. Then she told me a week ago that she was pregnant, but I can tell you right now, Luke, she was lying her ass off. Or, as it turns out, she was under the impression that she was. Yesterday she did a test and it was positive. I don't think she would have waited this long to do a test if it was Connor's baby. It makes no sense. So, if she hasn't been able to come up with a positive until now, then she must only be in the early stages of pregnancy. If that's true, the baby can't be Connor's. But it could be yours. She added more sensitively. I think she thought she could pass off your baby as his. You have dark hair and dark eyes like him. Luke clenched his fists. Information overload didn't even begin to describe this right now. He switched his attention to Connor. The man's face was blank.
I'm not just going to presume this kid's mine. I'll be arranging a paternity test. Same here,
said Connor. He turned back to Jackson then. He felt so mixed up. He wanted to kill Anita for her deviousness and how she could play with people's lives like this. But a part of him kept going over the fact that soon he might be a dad, and he couldn't find it in him to hate that idea.
I'm not going to say this is great news, but still, I'm glad you told me. I wouldn't want to have a kid somewhere and not know anything about it or be there for it.
She nodded. Good. At least the poor little thing will have one parent who'll care for it.
And if it's Connor's?
She shrugged. That'll be his business. He didn't even want her to be a part of his life. He would hardly want her to know his kid if he did have one. She thought it was sad that Connor had resigned himself to a life totally marriage-free, love-free, and children-free. Connor would make a good dad. He was protective and caring, though he didn't seem to see it. Maybe one day he would, like Dane, meet someone who meant enough to him to stop him from boxing himself away from all that stuff. It was while Dane was driving Connor and Jackson back to Connor's apartment that he finally asked,
"Do you want to have kids one day, Jax?"
Quickly, he corrected,
"Jackson."
Connor still growled. She nodded. "Yeah, I do. I never had much by way of family. I'd like to start my own someday. I need to keep the Carter blood going. The world wouldn't be the same without us Carters. Dane laughed.
I think you may be right there,
said Connor, smiling. It was a smile that covered the pain he felt, knowing that one day she would have that family, but it would be with someone else.
What about marriage?
Asked Dane. She shrugged again. Maybe. Connor gawped unattractively.
You always said you would never get married.
I know, but that's because I never saw a marriage that worked. Every relationship I'd ever seen was a mess. But after seeing Lily and Tony together, it made me realize what it can be like. I suppose, like everything else, it's what you make of it. Dane nodded.
You're right there. It's not easy. You've got to work at it. But it's worth it.
He smiled as a thought occurred to him.
I'd be interested to see what kind of wedding you have. I just know it wouldn't be anything traditional, or even normal.
Probably not. I couldn't have a big princess wedding in a huge church surrounded by a load of people I don't even know. I don't think I could cope with the serious atmosphere either. I'd end up laughing.
What about an Elvis wedding?
Now that might be fun.
That big hound of yours, Bronte, could give you away.
That would save me from having to choose between Ollie, Richie, and Tony, all of whom she thought would probably vie for the position, but only after they had lectured her on her choice of husband. She got the impression that they had no problem with males around her until it looked as though some bedroom action might get going.
You could have Anna and Warren as your witnesses. All that's missing is the groom, although I don't think you'll have much trouble finding one.
Ah, but not all blokes are comfortable with having their bollocks at risk on a daily basis. As Anna said, I'd need a man-man.
A man-man?
Echoed Connor, not enjoying this conversation whatsoever. Someone who won't be intimidated by me or be all submissive. Oh, and who'll have a healthy sex drive. Feeling suddenly defensive, as if needing to compete with this hypothetical bloke, Connor very nearly pointed out that he wasn't intimidated by her or submissive, and he had a healthy sex drive. Then he realized that if he had, then he would have, in effect, been calling himself a perfect match for her. He'd like to think that he was, but in the end it didn't matter because he couldn't offer her anything. Again, he found himself wishing he could. Something else that had his stomach knotting was that since there was no way of being around her without wanting her, they couldn't even keep in touch when things were over. There would be no way he could be in the same room and not touch her, and there was no way he could hear her voice over the phone and have a purely platonic conversation. At some point, the words, "I need to fuck you," would come out, and then the call would be abruptly put to an end by Jax. No, there was no way he could fit her into his life after this was over. But how could he not have her in his life to some extent? He really had had enough of the bollocks that went through his head. Anita was glad when Connor answered the door to his apartment with a beer in his hand. Maybe him being under the influence of alcohol might make the seduction easier. But she wasn't going to play the injured soul or the in-need-of-a-rescue princess this time. No, because now she had something she could hold over him, something that made her the one in control. That idea brought her confidence and gave her the spunk she needed to face him and his abruptness.
Aren't you going to invite me in?
Connor made a thoughtful, sound.
No, I don't think I will.
Although Dane had warned him she was coming, he hadn't been able to work up the patience to deal with her.
You should. This is important, Connor.
Then you better spill it, and quickly, because you're letting in a draft.
She placed a hand on her hip and arched a perfectly plucked blonde brow.
I suppose if you really do want your private business aired before your neighbors, we could just have this conversation here in the hallway. But I think you'll want to be sitting down for this.
He sighed and then strolled inside, leaving her to let herself in and close the door behind her. He squeezed onto the sofa next to Bronte.
All right, I'm sitting down. Tell me what this is all about.
You're not even going to offer me a drink? And when did you get a dog?
It was more like a donkey, and it didn't appear to like her. Well, that was a mutual feeling. Come to think of it, the creature was a bit familiar.
Anita, get on with it.
If you insist, she said cockily. The idea that soon she would have him right where she wanted him made her smirk. She relaxed into one of his armchairs and crossed her legs.
Did I say you could sit down?
You know what, Connor? You're going to have to grow out of this immaturity. And soon.
Was that?
His tone made it clear that he was absolutely bored. She leaned forward, flashing him her cleavage. I'm pregnant. That's why. She waited for that, I'm going to be a dad, smile. This was a guy who had grown up without a family. Of course he would be overjoyed to now have one. But the smile didn't come.
What does that have to do with me?
Don't be an idiot, Connor. You know this baby's yours.
Do I? We weren't exclusive or anything.
So now you're accusing me of sleeping around on you? She should have expected that he might have a brief moment of denial. How could you say something like that?
As I've just said, we weren't exclusive.
Maybe not to you, but we were to me. I loved you. Still do. Connor gulped down more beer. This woman was one of a crazy kind.
Oh, and you're willing to take me back, I suppose.
For the baby's sake, she finally said. I'm willing to try again, but no more I don't do marriage idiocy. Connor, you'll do right by us. And there's to be no other women, do you hear me? Connor whistled to himself, shaking his head.
Can't I even keep Jax?
Especially not her.
Why especially not her? You don't like her?
She's not important, she snapped. Softening her tone, she added, Only we are. You, me, and the baby. She flashed him her innocent smile.
You're certain this baby, if you're even having one, is mine?
Of course I'm having one, and yes, I'm certain. He let a good 20 seconds pass before responding.
You know what? I'm just not convinced. I'll have my solicitor arrange a paternity test.
Anita kept the panic from manifesting on her face. How can you be so hurtful, Connor? She wrapped a protective arm around her stomach. This is your child.
Tell me, Anita, why would you think that being pregnant would make any difference to how things are? Maybe in your little world of fantasies, a bloke marries a woman who's having his baby, but in the real world, it just doesn't always work that way. Would I want my kid to grow up watching its parents in a meaningless, loveless relationship? No, that would only make it miserable.
It wouldn't be meaningless, she said through her teeth. This is because of her, isn't it? You care about her, don't you?
I would never stay in with me if I didn't.
And here was me thinking you were just being hospitable, Connor, said Jackson as she entered the room and strolled over to him. Connor curled an arm around her waist and brought her onto his lap. Feeling her calmed him, and he needed that. What he didn't need was his dick coming to life, but in his defense, her hair was still wet from her shower, and she was in that black silk robe and quite possibly nothing else. Anita, isn't it? Said Jackson. The beautiful crackpot seemed frozen with shock. Ah, pregnant again? There was still no reaction from her at all. You look surprised to see me here. I would have thought you'd have worked it out when you saw Bronte. Didn't you recognize him? Anita's gaze flicked to the dog, who, looking very disgruntled about having to share the sofa, was now trotting out of the room. Why would I? I thought you might, since you've watched me walking him in the park, haven't you? Anita was beginning to really hate this girl. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, then it's a good thing that Luke Winston was such a wealth of information.
He's interested in seeing the results of the paternity test, too,
Connor told Anita. Shit, shit, shit. Anita kept her expression blank. Who? Jackson cocked her head as she continued. One thing he couldn't help me out with is why you wanted him to get me back to his house. Oh, I know you told him it was because I was into threesomes, but as for the real reason...
Would I be right in assuming you were going to take some snapshots of me and Luke, the father of your baby, together to give the papers or maybe even Connor? Oh, yes. Anita officially hated her. Fury, like she'd never known before, was whizzing through Anita's system and burning her from the inside out. She could feel her cheeks reddening. Her acrylic nails were digging deep into the skin of her palms, but she couldn't relax her balled-up hands.
If I thought you cared about Connor, I feel sorry for you. Only to a small extent, but still. But you don't at all. You just don't know how to handle not getting what you want. You got desperate. And somewhere along the line, you got this insane idea that you have the right to meddle with people's lives. Even to make a baby with one person and then pass it off as someone else's.
Twirling a chocolate brown curl around his finger, Connor gave a disapproving tut.
Something tells me Luke won't be up for that. He'll want access to his kid. You might want to think about handing over custody of the baby to him because, to be frank, I'm not convinced you're 100% sane.
Anita knew there was nothing innocent about her expression now as she glared at Jackson Carter.
I suppose you're very pleased with yourself. I pity you, if you are. You think you have him, but you don't. He's too closed off to belong to anyone. And when he's all done, he'll wash his hands of you and move on to another tart, just like he did me.
Yeah, your good mate Lottie already explained. Good of you to warn me, though.
You think you'll be an exception? She scoffed.
That's the thing, Anita. I know I won't be. I don't live in a fantasy world like some of us do, so I'm under no illusions.
Stuck. That was what Connor was. Hearing Anita's poisonous words, he had the same urge he'd had when it was Bruno being a twat. He wanted to deny the words, override them, and insist that it was different with Jax. But to do that would imply something more could happen, and he refused to give Jax false hope. He refused to make the mistake he made when he was 16 of telling her what he thought she'd want to hear.
You know what? I think you might just be bitter because your devious little plan hasn't worked.
Remember this for the future, Anita. Jackson's tone was grave. You're not clever, you're cunning. There's a big difference, and that's what your downfall was. Now get out of my sight.
Throwing me out? She snickered, then switched her focus to Connor. Sounds to me like she's getting a bit too comfortable, talking like this is her apartment. You might want to watch out there.
She'd have her own if you hadn't trashed it.
Anita looked genuinely shocked, he thought. But then he had to remember that she didn't get an Oscar for nothing. Anita snorted.
Is that what she told you? Oh, Connor, she's even better at games than I am. Don't you see? She obviously had it ransacked so that you would have to take her in, if it was even ransacked at all. You actually fell for that?
Jackson rolled her eyes. That's you judging others by your own standards.
Maybe it was the other way around. Maybe he trashed the apartment so you would have nowhere to go and he could get you to move in here.
Divide and conquer. A very old trick.
Connor gestured toward the door with his head.
Get out of our sight.
Sharply, Anita rose to her feet and gave them both a fierce snarl.
I hope you're very happy together, but you won't be, will you?
Then she stormed to the door, hissing and wishing them an early death.
Delightful woman, said Jackson as the door slammed so hard she was surprised the plaster surrounding the frame didn't crack.
I always thought so.
Cunning, devious, manipulative. Anita was all those things, but did that make her an apartment attacker? Would those delicate little fingers have any idea how to pick a lock? Would she ever be prepared to dirty herself in corn syrup? After a minute of thinking about it, Jackson sighed.
I don't think it was her who strafed my apartment.
Connor twirled Jax on his lap to face him and positioned her so she was straddling him.
Forget about it,
he muttered against her lips before kissing her softly.
Forget about the apartment.
He did what he had been dying to do since she walked into the room. He loosened the tie of her robe and slid his hands inside, shaping her waist. Christ, she was totally naked under it.
You're here with me now.
He slid a hand over the flat of her stomach, loving the velvety feel of her. Then he snaked his hand up and along her ribs. It's a bit hard to forget the die bitch part, and I'm not thrilled about the slag or slut. She broke off as his teeth grazed the column of her throat and one of his hands closed around her breast.
You are a slut. You're my slut.
He pinched her nipple and then bit the curve of her breast.
Bastard, she said breathlessly.
He explored her neck with hot, open-mouthed kisses while molding and clutching each of her breasts, wringing moans from her. She was about to make a protesting sound when his lips left her neck, but then his tongue curled around a taut nipple and flicked it. His mouth then closed over it and sucked hard. Moaning again, she ground herself against his hard, jeans-clad dick. Oddly enough, she enjoyed the friction that came from the feel of the denim against her clit. She supposed she was sort of slutty with him at times.
You've had such a shit day, haven't you, babe? Just relax for me. Let me give you something else to think about. Let me make you forget everything.
And then he worked her body like the master he was. Chapter 16 Jackson woke up to a lash of a tongue on her clit. The tip of that same tongue flicked the bud repeatedly, teasing it and sending zinging sensations through her. Then a long, cool breath blew over her clit and between her folds. She moaned and bucked.
Morning,
said Connor against her clit. When he suckled on it, she bucked again. He pinned her hips to the bed with his arm.
I woke up starving.
As he took to swiping his tongue through the slick folds, her moans grew in volume. He couldn't help moaning along with her as the taste of her increasingly ate at his control. Then he thrust his tongue into her, getting a more thorough tasting of her. He could happily do this for hours. After approximately 15 minutes of utter torture, during which she must have plucked over a dozen hairs from his head while her fingers were threaded through it, Jackson couldn't take any more.
Connor, she rasped.
What is it, babe?
Instead of words, a loud groan escaped her.
Connor!
Being reduced to one-word sentences was pissing her off. She mentally thumped herself.
I'm going to come.
I don't want you to come until I'm inside you.
Then you better get inside me very fast.
Hold on for me a little longer.
Can't.
She was very close to sobbing. She hated it when that happened.
Now, Connor.
Suddenly, her hips were tilted and his cock plunged into her as he seated himself deep. Over the edge she went, crying out and shaking. What a way to wake up. Connor held himself immobile until her little aftershock slipped away. Then he urged her to curl her legs around his hips and began to move, keeping his thrusts leisurely and sensual. He buried his face in the crook of her neck, groaning at how hot and tight and wet she was. The feel of Jax's tight muscles gripping and stretching around him was his own personal definition of heaven. Jackson had been waiting for the deliciousness of having him inside her to wane with time, but if anything, it only got better. She loved that sensation as he first entered her. She loved how each deliberate movement was powerful and masterful and dominant, no matter how gentle or rough he was. She loved how he filled her so deeply, making her feel as though she could burst, and the smoothness of his flesh against her own was amazing. Wait a minute. His flesh against her own? She knew something felt different.
Connor.
Oh no, babe. Oh no, I'm bareback. I'll put on a condom in a minute. I swear, I just want to feel you around me. Just for a minute.
He'd never taken a woman without a condom before. Naturally, he'd always wondered what it was like without them. But with Jax, he needed to know. He would put on a condom in a minute. He really would. He just needed to know how it felt to take her skin to skin. The feel of her cum coating his cock was amazing. Although his movements were slow, it fired her desire having the feel of him inside her like this. She tried not to arch into him and beat at his control, but while she was caught up in the thrall of the pleasure that he could give her, she didn't have a lot of control herself. His touch was rekindling the giddy tingles from her last orgasm.
I'll pull out in a sec. I promise I will.
She wasn't sure who he was trying to reassure more, her or himself. She recalled the conversation they'd had one night when she had been teasing him about the slutty life he'd led. He had sworn that he had always worn a condom and still got himself checked out regularly.
You don't have to stop if you don't want to. I'm on the pill.
She had been since she was 14 to regulate her heavy periods. Instantly, Connor stilled.
If you want to use a condom, then get it on quickly because I'm close and these slow thrusts of yours are...
She broke off as he abruptly slammed into her, dragging a loud groan from her which mingled with his.
Harder?
He gritted out.
Yes.
This time, he slammed into her so hard she hit the headboard.
Faster? A lot faster.
He smiled at the frustration in her voice. Then he firmly caught her hips, dragged her to him away from the headboard, and hammered into her the way she loved. Jesus Christ, it was a million times better with nothing to keep his skin from hers.
Look at me, Jax.
She opened her eyes to find his face a mask of intensity. His lips were set into a hard line, his jaw was so tense she would bet his teeth hurt, and his eyes had that merciless glint to them and had darkened to flint. He cupped her ass and shifted her slightly so that he was now hitting her G-spot with every thrust.
God, Connor. Now, Jax,
he demanded in a harsh voice.
Come for me right now. Come with me.
Then he slammed into her even harder than before, and they both came together, her screaming and him groaning her name. Jackson closed her eyes as she waited for him to roll off her and sigh, and mutter about how he shouldn't have done that. Any other bloke would see no need to panic, but this was someone who didn't want kids. Instead, he did something that took her completely by surprise. He gave her a soft, lingering kiss, and then took her with him as he rolled onto his side.
What time is it? Well, my alarm went off at 6:30, so it must be about 7 now.
How is it that I didn't hear your alarm? She had always been a light sleeper.
You were obviously so satiated after I fucked you to sleep that you were halfway to comatose.
Hearing the self-satisfaction in his tone, she pinched his bicep.
No one likes a smug bastard.
What time are you leaving for the gym?
Same time as you're leaving for the studio. 7:30. So I suppose we'd better get up.
He swatted her ass and then jumped out of bed before she could return the favor. One thing Connor adored Jax for was that she didn't take ages in the bathroom. Also, she didn't mind sharing it while she used it. This morning, though, she made him agree not to join her in the shower, as they had learned during their stay in France that there was no way they could be together in the shower without something sexual happening. This morning, they didn't have time. As usual, Jax was washed and dressed within 20 minutes. He was glad she wasn't someone who lathered herself in makeup. Except when working, of course. In his opinion, she didn't need it and looked more stunning without it. Another thing he liked was that despite the industry she worked in, she didn't skip breakfast. Even if all she had time for was a slice of toast, she didn't start her day on an empty stomach. What Connor didn't like about this morning was that he was leaving a humongous animal in his apartment for the day. Jax assured him that he wouldn't get back to find that Bronte had done a Turner and Hooch to the place, mostly because she didn't believe he knew he was a dog, which was something she was going to look into. Connor also didn't like the thought of her being away from him while the person responsible for trashing her own apartment was waltzing around and so far had gone undetected. He still believed it was Anita, but Jax still wasn't convinced. Hoping to avoid Anita's watchful eye, he took Jax out the side door of the building, telling the guard, Chino, that she would be using this as an entrance and exit from now on. But Connor still couldn't relax.
Maybe I should drive you to the studio and then pick you up once you're done,
he said as they approached her Audi.
You are kidding, aren't you? No, of course you're not, she grumbled. I'll be all right. It's not like anyone has tried to hurt me. It was my apartment that they went after.
Yeah, but they had both pissed Anita off badly last night, so it wouldn't surprise him if she took things a step further after that. He shackled Jax's wrist with his hand and tugged her to him so sharply she dropped her handbag.
Look,
I know that I can go over the top and be way too overprotective when it comes to you.
Did you honestly just admit that?
But I feel uneasy, and I can't shake it off.
Now you're just being paranoid.
It doesn't mean Anita's not following you. Luke said she knew what day you walked Bronte, so...
Maybe you're right and I'm being tailed by Anita the Vengeful, but in that case, won't I need my car so I can ram the thing into her?
When she pulled her hand free and bent to pick up the handbag, she heard him groan.
What? She asked as she straightened.
How great thou art.
Ah, so my randy bastard's back. I like him better than the paranoid one.
Just as she was about to unlock the car, she was caged against it from behind. Yep, Randy Bastard was definitely back. He cupped and shaped her ass, then spanked it. Of course he spanked it. Why wouldn't he spank it?
All right, this S&M shite stops now.
He whispered into her ear.
Deny it if you want, but you like getting your ass spanked. You're wet as hell every time I do it. Oh, and I haven't even started with the kinky stuff, babe. One night, I'm going to tie you to my bed and have my wicked way with you. And you know what? You'll love every second of it. I bet you're getting wet just thinking about it, aren't you?
She was. Do you really want to get me all horny and then send me off to a studio full of male models?
She was spun around so fast she stumbled. A chuckle burst out of her.
You are so easy to wind up, Mackenzie.
And you are such a tease, Carter.
He merged his lips with hers. The kiss was punishing and possessive.
Remember, take a different route to the studio and be alert, all right?
Sir, yes, sir.
Sir, I actually like the sound of that. Lord and Master might be better, though.
Chuckling again, she shoved him away and got into her Audi. At the same time, he jumped into his Aston Martin convertible and beeped at her as they went their separate ways. Jackson sighed as it occurred to her that when they literally went their separate ways in every sense of the phrase, it wouldn't be anything like the easy, playful manner of just now. Or at least it wouldn't be for her. First thing on her schedule was a conference call with the fashion designer and his team from Milan, who were still trying to negotiate some sort of deal for Jackson to model a special clothesline, which they wanted to brand with her name. Apparently, they weren't fazed by her decision not to go to Milan to meet with them, and after some hounding on their part, a conference call was arranged. Sadly for the designer, this kind of thing wasn't for her, and she told him as much in the most frank way possible. Next on her schedule was the shoot for the Allure line of the new season. It didn't escape her notice that Tony wasn't barking at her to move this way and that like he usually did. So she guessed he was worried about her after what happened to the apartment. She was surprised that he wasn't sulking because she was staying with Connor rather than in his annex, and just when she thought he was being mature about it, he made a snide comment. So she flipped him off. And he laughed. When it was time for the next set of shots, which were mostly to concentrate on the eye products, Jackson went to have her makeup redone into a different look. Kieran used a lot of smoky colors this time, making her seem like some sort of dark seductress. She didn't like it, but of course he saw that as a positive because it meant that she would have on her frustrated look by the time she got back to Tony.
"Ooh, maybe this will cheer you up," said another of the makeup artists, Lorna.
She placed a vase filled with burgundy red roses and a black box with a black lacy bow, which she guessed contained chocolates, in front of Jackson.
"Who are they from?" asked Kieran.
She plucked out the envelope that sat within the bouquet and tore it open. The card read, "They won't taste better than you. See."
"See? Oh, they're from Connor Mackenzie. You know, you haven't told me much about him."
"I can tell you that he doesn't do flowers and chocolates."
"Love, they all revert to the traditions when the right girl comes along. The two of you really do suit. And I don't just mean because of how crazy both are. I mean you look good together as well. That's always a bonus."
"What's that noise?" asked Lorna, flicking aside her purple hair to cup her ear. "Sounds like bells ringing. Church bells."
"Stop taking the piss. There will be no wedding," stated Jackson.
Did someone say wedding? Who's getting married? Louisa strutted over to Jackson and examined her ringlets. They don't need touching up. Lorna nodded in agreement. We were just asking when the big date is for Jackson and Connor. He proposed? Jackson held up the hand that Louisa was trying to snatch. See? No ring. They're just trying to wind me up. And they're succeeding. She briefly contemplated ragging out Kieran's spiky hair and shoving it down Lorna's throat. Is that who the flowers and chocolates are from? Yes, verified Kieran.
You know what, Jackson? You should make sure your wedding bouquet looks something like that. It'll be a tribute to the first time he sent you flowers.
He knew he was pushing it, but it wouldn't be a normal day if Jackson didn't tell him to sod off. It was part of his routine.
Wedding bouquet?
Echoed an extremely aggravated Ollie as he paced to Jackson.
Mackenzie asked you to marry him, and you said yes?
Oh, he'd skin the prat. Jackson put her hand over her heart and said her speech in a rush.
How could I say no? You were right when you said it was about more than just sex. I love him. I don't want to be without him.
At the sight of his blazing red cheeks, she burst into laughter and everyone joined in, other than Ollie, who looked a mixture of relieved and annoyed.
Bloody hell, girl. You had me panicking then.
Don't you like Connor? Asked Kieran.
Oh, don't get him started on Connor, groaned Jackson.
It's not that I don't like him, said Ollie. So am I the only one who doesn't like him, then?
Bruno winked at Jackson as he came to stand beside Ollie. Kieran snorted.
Your opinion of Connor doesn't count. It's biased.
He gestured for Ollie to continue, but the man was struggling for words.
Oh, I get it, chortled Kieran. Daddy doesn't like his little girl having a sex life.
Is it a good sex life?
Lorna asked Jackson, waggling her eyebrows.
With the sexual tension those two throw about when they're in the same room, it must be.
Louisa turned to Jackson.
Aren't you going to open those chocks, love?
Jackson didn't answer. There was no point, as Louisa already had the box in her hands and was now opening it.
Dark chocolate. Ew, I don't like dark chalk.
Jackson shook her head in distaste.
Dark chocolate's the healthy chocolate option, said Kieran. The cocoa levels...
Kieran, will you sod off with that mascara and eyeliner before I end up looking like a bloody panda?
He chuckled.
That's you done, love. The details of the tour are all finalized,
Ollie announced as he escorted Jackson down the hallway, en route back to Tony.
As I already told you, we're going to New York first. It's an evening flight. I knew you would prefer one of them. What day do you leave?
Asked Bruno, now walking on Jackson's other side.
Monday,
replied Ollie. Bruno smiled when he managed to catch Jackson's eye.
I'll bet you'll be glad to leave that apartment behind after what happened.
She frowned. How do you know about that?
I was eavesdropping when Ollie and Richie were talking about it. Sorry. So, how are you?
All right. It's just stuff at the end of the day, isn't it?
There hasn't been anything else odd going on,
checked Ollie. She shook her head.
The place is still in the process of being cleaned. The mess was unreal.
I've seen worse.
Ollie knew that, and the idea of it got on his wick. He'd hoped that her new life would get her away from that crap, give her security. He was so thankful that it hadn't made her take a step backwards in her progress with her transition from having nothing to everything she wanted. It would have cut him up if she had withdrawn from it just because of some nut, but he'd seen it happen many times with other people. They couldn't deal with the lack of privacy, or being under the microscope of the media, or the sudden and massive amount of attention, the like of which they could never have imagined. He'd seen grown men cry when that attention suddenly became bad attention and there were criticisms and wicked rumors and the appearance of nutcases. But this 22-year-old woman had taken it better than most he'd known in the past to have done. As much as he didn't like that she was staying with Mackenzie, the bloke looked at Jackson like she belonged to him. Ollie didn't want her to be alone, and Ollie knew Mackenzie wouldn't hesitate in wiping the floor with anyone who tried to lay a finger on her. That was assuming the bugger wasn't dealt with by Jackson herself first. Bruno snickered.
Is that why Mackenzie was sending you the flowers and chocolates? Is he trying to coddle you through what's been going on? Or is he trying to dig himself out of the doghouse? I'll bet it's the second. He's so cocky and overbearing.
At the end of her tether and feeling an inexplicably big need to defend Connor, Jackson spun on Bruno.
Do you know what, Bruno? I'm getting sick of your remarks about him.
Whoa, whoa. I was just joking around.
Jokes are funny.
And it was never just what he said. It was the spite and bitterness that was always in his tone.
Oh, come on, Jax.
Don't call me that.
Her voice was deadly. She could tolerate Dane doing it because she knew he was doing it to wind Connor up. But the way Bruno had said it so intimately, as if he had that same level of familiarity and closeness with her that Connor did, ticked her right off. Wisely, he didn't follow her any further. Ollie was also wise. He didn't comment. As Connor pulled up next to Jax's Audi in the car park outside of his apartment building later that day, he smiled. He had liked the idea that when he got home it would be to find Jax there waiting. He liked that idea even better now that he was finally back. So did his dick.
"I'll come bearing gifts,"
he announced as he entered his apartment with a giant-sized pizza. Yeah, it seemed counterproductive to spend hours on his fitness levels and then devour a pizza at the end of it, but sod it. When Jax, who was watching TV on the sofa, turned her head and smiled sweetly at him over her shoulder, something twisted in his chest.
Pizza. Good thinking, Mackenzie.
Having dumped his gym bag on the floor, he went straight to the living area and kissed her. He'd only meant for it to be a brief, greeting-type kiss, but his control around her was as piss-poor as ever.
Your dessert, Carter.
Please tell me that's deep pan margarita, she said when he finally released her lips.
Of course it is. I know it's your favorite.
He sat on the armchair near the sofa and placed the pizza on the table in front of them, liking how it felt to lounge around while eating pizza out of the box like they used to. No plates, no cutlery, no prim crap.
Good memory.
I could hardly forget that. It was all you ate back then. How you could eat something that often and not get sick of it always amazed me.
Well, you forgot that I didn't like dark chocolate.
Seeing the confused expression on his face, she slapped her leg.
I knew it wasn't you.
What?
I told Kieran that's just not the kind of thing you'd do.
She was torn between being pleased with herself for being right and being agitated that someone else had sent them and she didn't know who.
Jax, elaborate.
Today I got a bunch of red roses and a box of dark chocolate sent to me.
The slice of pizza in his hand slipped from his fingers and dropped back into the box.
You what?
The card was signed C, so everyone assumed you had sent them, but it just seemed out of character for you.
Where are they?
She shrugged as she finished chewing on the food in her mouth.
I left them in the studio, so no doubt someone's took them home.
I bet you would have felt like a right bitch if it had turned out that I had sent them then, wouldn't you?
No, I'd have told you it served you right for sending me corny crap.
Christ, Jax.
He shook his head.
I don't like this stalker stuff.
You're telling me you've never had some kind of obsessed fan? God, if you saw some of the fan mail I get, you wouldn't be so bothered. Anna spends hours reading it, either laughing her head off or blushing purple. There are some really odd people out there, and for some reason I've yet to understand, I seem to draw them to me.
He snorted.
Wrong, babe. You draw everyone to you. Always have. It's just that it's mostly the odd ones who have the nerve to do something about it.
It makes me shiver, thinking someone might be obsessed with me, though. I don't get it.
I'm obsessed with you. You're obsessed with me, though, so I can cope.
She laughed. You tell yourself that it's your coping mechanism.
You deny it to yourself that it's your coping mechanism.
He cringed when Bronte slobbered all over the sofa at the sight of the pizza.
Does he eat this sort of stuff? I thought dogs were more meat-eaters.
Ah, but like I've said, I'm not convinced he's aware he's of the canine line. Bronte will eat just about anything, but I think it's because before I found him he was living off whatever scraps he could find out of people's bins.
For the first week of him living with me, he was eating out of my kitchen bin. I had to train him to stop it. Observe and note that your apartment is in tip-top shape, despite Scooby-Doo here having spent the day in it.
Observed, noted, appreciated.
What he didn't appreciate was the knock on his apartment door mere seconds later. Cautious for Jax, he glimpsed through the peephole. He shot Dane a frustrated look as he opened the door, but his mate only smiled in response as he walked past him.
All right, Con. What's that smell?
Smells like junk food, said Nikki as she waltzed in behind Dane with little Dane hanging off her neck. Quick as anything, he threw himself at Connor.
All right, little man,
said Connor as he perched the toddler on his arm so he could cling to him like a chimp, the way he always did.
You been a good boy for your mum and dad?
Chewing on his thumb, he asked shyly,
Who's that girl?
Dane was already in the living room.
Hey, Jax, sorry, Jack's son. This is my wife, Nikki, and my little boy, Dane.
Although all she did in response was smile and offer a hi, Nikki thought it was so warmly delivered it was like an embrace. Nikki had expected to feel threatened as a woman while being around someone so stunning, but there was something reassuring about Jackson Carter. It should have seemed contradictory, seeing someone so perfect to the eye munching so commonly on a slice of pizza.
Sorry we didn't get a chance to meet till now, but I didn't want to risk seeing you when Anita might have found out.
Waving away the unnecessary apology, Jackson smiled.
Thanks for keeping an eye on her for Connor. She's a witch.
After chasing a very put-out Bronte off the sofa, Connor plonked himself next to Jax while Dane and Nikki each claimed an armchair.
This is my very good friend Jax,
he told little Dane.
Jax, this is...
Let me guess, she drawled. Are you the fat controller who's friends with Thomas the Tank Engine and all his friends?
He giggled and shook his head while Connor, Nikki, and Dane all exchanged a look that said, how did she guess he loved that program?
Really? You look so much like him, continued Jackson. Have you ever met Thomas?
Little Dane shook his head again.
I know a place where you can. His eyes bulged. Tell your mummy and daddy to take you to a place called Wales in August and he'll be there. You can ride on him. And Annie and Clarabelle.
And Percy?
Oh, yeah, definitely him.
Seeing the questioning look on Connor's face, she said, All little boys love Thomas.
I learned about the Wales thing years ago when I was helping the local nursery teacher find excursions. She was a sister of a mate of mine.
She didn't elaborate that this mate had been coming off drugs and both Jackson and the young teacher had been taking shifts helping her get through it. Filled with excitement, little Dane hit her with one question after another about this August event until, eventually, he'd crawled into her lap while she gave him all the details. As Connor watched Jax win shy little Dane over so effortlessly, he was overcome with a contradictory mixture of awe and anxiety. Awe at her naturalness with children and anxiety at the idea that she would be a great mom and he wouldn't be around to see it. There was no way he could watch her being a mum to a kid that belonged to another bloke.
You'll be pleased to know that Anita's gone, announced Dane before biting into the slice of pizza that he had helped himself to. Left for L.A. this morning, fully admitting that the baby she's having isn't yours, Con.
Thank God for that.
Then something occurred to him. If Anita was gone but Jax was still being tailed, it had to be someone else. But then maybe Jax was right and she wasn't being followed. Maybe he was just being paranoid, as she'd said. Stuck in his thoughts, he didn't realize Jax's phone was ringing until she gently placed little Dane on his lap before hurrying to the bedroom to take the call. A few minutes later, she reappeared, her olive skin pale. Immediately he was on his feet.
Jax, what is it?
She said nothing, just stared at him.
What's wrong? Who was it on the phone?
Richie, she replied. Louisa's in hospital.
Louisa?
She's one of the hairstylists. He was with her, going over some things when she started vomiting. He said it was like something off The Exorcist.
But she's all right.
She nodded. She stopped spewing about half an hour ago when the doctor in the hospital gave her something to settle her stomach. They're keeping her in for the night.
Hey, don't look so freaked out.
But then Jax held his gaze with such intensity he felt rooted to the spot.